We left off last week, chapter 11 of Hebrews. We were talking about the faith of a man called Abraham. I want to give you some scripture for you to think about as we go through this. We talk about Abraham and his faith, and many people portray this of it being from Abraham itself. The name Abram means exalted one. So bear in mind that God exalted Abram and God exalts his people. Our blessings come from Christ, in Christ and through Christ, from God the Father. So when we talk about faith and a man that's walking by faith, we need to understand this is given to us that we may see as we walk through this world and have it for an example of how those pilgrims before us walked in faith of God and the things that they endured while they lived in this world. And the purpose of faith, first of all, that God be glorified, for Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and that's glorifying to God. But faith is for us in a sense, brethren, because we're justified in the blood of Christ, nothing else. We're justified in the eyes of man by our works. By a man's works is he justified to others. We're justified by faith in our heart. God gives us faith. It justifies us in our heart, mind, and soul in the assurance of the comfort of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, as we talk about Abraham, we'll go back very quickly. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went. We talked last week about Abraham being born of the Spirit of God while he was living in a place of idolatry. We talked about him following what God sent him to do because he was born of the Spirit of God. He had faith in God. He had obeyed God because he had faith. God worked a work in him just as God works a work in you. God promised him a land that he would inherit. That land was the land of Canaan. It was, in essence, if you want to look at the flesh, a land of his enemies, as we live in a land of our enemies. God gave him none inheritance, Acts chapter 7 teaches us in the discourse of Stephen. God the Father gave him no inheritance in the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan was a type and shadow of the church that we have today. Abraham never attained that. Abraham never was delivered there, but he walked in this world by faith, knowing that God, who cannot lie, promised these things to us. They're ordained by the Word of God before the world ever began. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, that was not the land of Canaan. Again, Acts 7, God gave him no inheritance in that land. It's pointing to the church. The church would be his inheritance of the seed of Abraham. He obeyed and he went out not knowing whither he went. Made mention of that last week, following the command of God, following as we do today, trying to walk in this world in obedience to Christ, that his name would be glorified because he loved us and died on the cross for us, and we seek to serve him and love him out of gratitude, and we seek to do that more and more with each day that passes. Abraham, as we are, is led many times into places he's never been. He's led many times into places he does not know where he's going. He may not even know where he's at in this world of chaos, relating that to today. How comparable is that to how we live in this day? As we strive to serve Christ in this insane, dark, chaotic, evil world in which we live. It takes faith to walk with God. It takes faith to be separate from this world and be in the kingdom of God. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. They didn't have houses. They didn't dig foundations. This was not permanent. because we are pilgrims here. We sojourn here. We're passing through this dark world. Our home is in glory above with Christ forever. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're going to pick up in the next verse, but I want to make a point with this. Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. We made mention of this last week. Christ was talking to his disciples, whom say men that I am, thou art John the Baptist, Elias, one of the prophets, but whom say ye, his disciples, that I am. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter said. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. The church is built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ is the builder of the house. Go back to Hebrews 3 and 4. That's speaking of the church here in the world. What Abraham was seeing and what was promised to him, by which he has inheritance or had inheritance, because he believed God, because God worked to work among him, because Christ died for him, because he was among the elect of God and God would work a work in him. This was pointing to the church of God here in the world, because this church is built of Christ, stone upon stone, living stones, each one different from the other, none of them alike, but all come together in worship of Christ as stones laid upon the foundation. Christ builds that. It's not talking of heaven in immortal glory. When we get to verse 16, we will see heaven because it's not built. I told you last week, heaven is not built. Heaven is eternal. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a place for you in heaven and immortal glory. A heavenly city, an eternal city, which has no beginning and which has no God. So he's talking here about the church of the living God, which is given to us today. It's appointed unto us through Christ from the Father. If my Father hath appointed unto me a kingdom, I appoint unto you also a kingdom here in this world. It's the church. It's the assembly. It's the kingdom of God. Through faith, we talked about the foundations, the apostles and prophets, went to Revelation 21, of the foundation of the church. Very quickly, bringing to remembrance, the church and glory is Christ. It's not about the apostles. It's not about the prophets. This is the household of faith. There we shall see him as he is. We will not have faith, for we shall see by sight. This is the household of faith. Here we see by revelation. Okay? This is the place, and God is the builder and the maker. Through faith also, here we go, receive strength to conceive seed. Sarah. Let's go back to Genesis 18. Let me get my marker to be easier to find. 17. Now you watch this closely. The Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. I want you to understand the purpose of God is. Had Sarah never had faith, it had nothing to do, it would not have changed in any way the purpose of God and the child called Isaac being a type of Christ. That's done in God. It doesn't say Isaac came by Sarah's faith. And in fact, at that point, he's talking about the faith of Abraham. Because by the faith of Abraham, Sarah received strength. You see what she had. She didn't cause a child to be born. She had faith and received strength through that faith of the Christ of God. We find in Genesis 17, I'll start in verse 15, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife," the word means "my princess." That's the name of Sarai. This is Abraham's wife. She is his princess. Personally, this is his love. This is his wife, his lifelong companion until she left this world. "As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name." The name Sarah means plainly princess. She's not just going to be your princess, Abraham. She's going to be a princess to my people. Because from her loins would come forth the child called Isaac. "And in Isaac shall thy seed be called." God says, "And I will bless her." I love the shalls and the wills of God. It's definite. It will be. God is giving Abraham the factual knowledge that he will bless her. It had not yet come to pass. The child was not yet born. But yet God said, "And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her." Yea, affirmation, "I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations," the nations of Israel, and pointing to Christ, of all the races of Gentiles and tongues that would ever be in this world, called the elect of God. "Kings of people shall be of her." We see the kings of Israel mentioned coming to the King Himself, Christ, the Lord of lords and King of kings. Now watch Abraham and think about faith. Think about nature. Think about how we are sometimes in this world. If we dare to look at the propaganda stations they call news and see the things that go on in this world, how they deny righteousness, how they deny godliness, how they try to hide Christ and promote man-made doctrines and religions, how they push evolution instead of creation, everything against God, looking at the kingdoms of this world in which evil men sit upon, knowing that this world is going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. Think about that, and think about the promises of God. Think about sitting at home worrying, quote Buford Dean, "Worry is an insult to God." Worrying about the world, the nation, society, which is all going to be consumed. Abraham has been given a promise from the God of eternity that he is going to give him a son from Sarah, and in that son, his people shall be called. What's the result? Abram, verse 17, fell upon his face before God. We find that common in Scripture. When God reveals himself, Ezekiel fell upon his face as if dead. Abraham fell upon his face. He's communicating with God because God is communicating with him. God is giving him fact of his counsel and the blessing God is going to give him. And Abraham laughed in his heart. Is that faith? And he says, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old?" And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Woe, so many places could go. His flesh, according to Romans 4, was as good as dead. He could not reproduce. It was impossible by the tie of nature that he could bring forth a son. It was impossible by nature for Sarah to conceive. Yet God has promised, for God is life, Christ is life, God is the only giver of life, God is the only creator of life. Abraham is here talking to him, communicating with God, and he's got a doubt. You want to talk about the faith of Abraham? Let's see where the faith came from. Watch what God does. Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live. Lord, I'm old." It's no excuse. Moses was 80 years old when God called him and sent him to deliver his people from Egypt. 80 years old. He was 120 when he died. His strength, natural strength had not abated. God does not need anything. God is the giver of life and the creator. Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. I can't produce this child." That's exactly correct. Abraham could not. Sarah could not. It was impossible. But God, okay? It was impossible. Brethren, the world looks around at us today, the few that worship God in spirit and in truth in the church of God. They ridicule us. They hate us. The things which you say are impossible. It's not given for them to know. And it is impossible in the nature of man. But all things are possible with God. And we'll talk about that sometime too, because there's some things God cannot do. Lie is one of them, and die is another. You see, Abraham, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Lord, I'm old. I can't do this. Please bless Ishmael." And God, here is a confirmation. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe looking around in anxiety at the things of the world and doubted? Had a little glimpse of doubt, a little bit of fear. The world is coming, the sky is falling. Do you ever get that answer back from God? Where God says, be still, and know that I am God. God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will, that is God, establish my covenant, and he cannot lie, with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. This is pointing to Christ. This came to pass in Jacob. This came to pass in Israel according to the flesh. But the spiritual Israel, because the physical Israel exists no more in the eyes of God. Oh, Israel's at war. The world's about to end. I wish it would do it today. But that is not the Israel of God, okay? That was laid to the ground around AD 70 and exists no more. That nation was created by men in warm zeal, not knowing Scripture and the purpose and power of God, just as the doctrines of the flesh do the same today. This is speaking of the spiritual Israel in Christ. And as for Ishmael, God, I want you to read that sometime. God said, I blessed him, will make him fruitful. He said he'd be a wild man. His hand would be against every man. He'd dwell in the presence of his brethren. That is still going on today because we see that battle between Palestine, who are the Philistines, the Old Testament, by their bloodline, and that nation that is there today. We see that today. That battle won't stop as long as the world is here. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Through Abraham's faith and through his doubtings, faith is a gift from God. Faith does not give you eternal life. Faith is evidence of your eternal life. Through faith, Sarah received strength. Through Abraham's faith in believing God, when God revealed this to him, when God affirmed this to him, Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. When she was past age, you turn to the text and find where she bore Isaac. She conceived strength. And then we see that she was past age because she, how did this come? Now this is going to Sarah's faith. And we'll look at that. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. 18 of Genesis. When the Lord appeared to Abraham in the heat of the day, and the two angels with him, and we see beginning in verse 9 where they said unto him, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" And Abraham said, "Behold, in the tent." We're talking about the faith of Sarah as we were talking about the faith of Abraham. The text is about those children of God before walking by faith in the assurance of the finished work of Jesus Christ and daily temporal deliverance of God to His people here in this world. And the kingdom of God which was to come and is now here and is the household of faith. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." Because they've left the tent and come out under some trees, because it's the heat of the day. And he said, "I will certainly," this is Christ, it says, "The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, sat in his tent during the heat of the day. He saw him." That's the pre-incarnate Christ of God, the same one that walked with Adam. And he, Christ, said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life." As far as nature is concerned, the time of life is over for Sarah to bring forth life or Abraham. "And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, childbirth, bearing children. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also." Take note. Take note, so contrary to the world today. It was pleasure to have a child. It was pleasure to bring up children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Okay? That's the way God designed things. But she laughed within herself. "I'm old. How can this be? Shall I have joy? Shall I have children, a child, a son? My Lord, my husband being old also? It's not just me. He's also as good as dead in the body. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah? Do you realize Abraham thought in his heart and God knew it? Sarah's behind them in the tent. This is in her mind. This is in her heart. God knew it. God knows the thoughts of the heart. And if you want to think about and realize grace, the thoughts of the heart are desperately wicked, okay? She is laughing in her heart. Shall I have a surety bear child, which am old? Is anything, the Lord said unto Sarah, why did you laugh? Why did you say that? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you see God by Christ confirming the counsel of God? It does not matter how old you are. The condition of your body does not matter. Your weakness does not matter. For I am the Lord, he said in Malachi, and I change not. He said in Isaiah, my counsel shall stand. What God says is yea and amen. This is faith in God, and God is revealing it to her. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, speaking to her personally. According to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. Can't hide from God. God knows the thoughts of her mind. The very hairs of her head are numbered. Each and every person that's in the world, each and every person that's ever been in the world, and each and every person that will ever come into this world. How great is our God? He knows our thoughts. He doesn't just know we're sinners. He knows the exact sinful thoughts that enter into our mind. And what was his response? He spoke to her. He revealed himself to her in Christ. He established the fact of the knowledge of faith. Why do we come to worship God, brethren, in the kingdom? We come to hear the glory of God. We come to hear and learn of the Christ of God. We have to come. We come and have that knowledge established from week to week and strengthened together on the Lord's day, on the day of His resurrection. And He told her, nay, but thou didst laugh. She was convicted. She was convicted. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child because she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We look at God and we know by faith that He is God, created the heaven and earth and all things therein. That He reigns over all things. He's high above the earth, sin as the heavens are above the earth. He sits on the circumference of the earth. The earth is His footstool. How great is our God? But we doubt ourselves. Let me read this very quickly. If I can find it. He tells us very plainly in John, and I'm not going to take the time to find it because it's aside from the text. John said, right, that you may know those that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That knowledge is given unto us. When we worship, as we walk through this world, sometimes we see the Lord high and lifted up. Sometimes we have that brief, very brief feeling. Solomon said, I saw my lover through the lattice and now he's gone. Very short glimpses of the glory of God. The heart is overcome with a reverential fear. Tears from the heart flow inside because we saw and we felt and it was established and acknowledged in our heart of Christ. Moments like that, we are of a surety that we have eternal life. But they're few and far between as we walk through this world. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child because she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. There's the faith of Sarah. Therefore, because of this, God is a God of purpose. God did not do this to them because they earned it. Therefore, because of their faith, God did this by the grace, mercy, and purpose of God. But therefore, by their faith, they walked in this world with all that was around them and received the blessings of God. These therefore sprang there even of one, Abraham, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. When I was a child, we lived on a mountaintop on a ranch. You could get up there in the cold, dark winter nights and see the millions of stars displayed in the cold winter night air. And this text would come to my mind. Satan deceives. You remember that cloud of smoke, that darkness and revelation that came forth from the pits of hell? He deceives you. He clouds the picture. Brethren, I have been looking for stars for years. You cannot see stars today like you did in my youth, partly because, now you gather this, the artificial light that man has in the world, in his creation, the things he's done in cities and whatnot, hides the clouds or the stars of the sky. And man's doctrine does the same thing in trying to hide the glory of God. It's hard to see those stars in nature now, but we can still see the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. They're limited in the sense that God chose them. He did not choose one extra. He did not leave one out. None can be added. None can be taken away. All the Father gave him, the elect of God. But there's so many of them that we cannot know them. We cannot number them. We cannot see them. We cannot count them no more than we could count the sand of the seashore or the stars of the sky. But God does. Speaking of all these we've talked about before, from Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, these all, every single one of them, because they were born of the Spirit of God through revelation of Jesus Christ. These all died. For it is given unto men once to die. It's given. We've sinned. Our existence is sin. Our being is sin. And after this, the judgment. Is that not a fearful thought? These all died in faith. They died pressing on. They died trying to attain the prize that Paul speaks of when he's comparing it to running a race. Paul said, I fought the good fight of what? Of faith. Walking forward in this world and the darkness around us and the hatred upon us and the prejudice against us and all the forces of Satan, which are getting more and more manifest and rampant daily in this current evil world in which we live. These all died in faith, knowing that God was with them, not having received the promises. Abraham never got to this kingdom. There was not even a Bible when Abraham was experiencing these things, because Moses was not there to write them. We'll get to him a little later. There wasn't a church. There was sacrifice. We see that. These all died in faith, not having received the promises of the kingdom of God, especially not in heaven and immortal glory, but having seen them afar off. I made mention of this last week. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand upon the earth the latter day. And even though my skin worms have destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. There was no gospel book. That's the oldest book in the Bible. How did he know? Because God wrote it on his heart. How did he know? Because God revealed it to him. How did these people have faith? Because God gave it to them. It's a fruit of the Spirit. They saw down the road, afar off. They saw some 4,000 years later. Well, two at that time probably. Today would be four. The Christ of God. They would not live to inherit this kingdom in this world because they were dead. They died in faith, seeking. Remember what Peter said about those men who walk by faith, who testify to the sufferings of Christ, maybe not even fully understanding what they were preaching and teaching, but they prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, and that's in the kingdom today in the church of God. Why should I go to church? Because Christ is here. I've heard that asked by people. Some of them I cared about. At that time, they had no interest. They get moved by God sometimes as they go, and I'm thankful for that. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. God gave them that knowledge. And were persuaded of them. And were persuaded of them. They full well knew by the faith that God gave them that they would come to pass. We live here this day. We come to assemble in the house of God. Well, you are the house of God. We come to assemble in the meeting house. Very few of us. Some might say, what's the point? But you see, we see down the road because we see the second coming of Christ. We see the resurrection of the dead and the judgment. We see the glory of the Son of God. And we see by faith the glorified bodies that He will raise up for us. We see this down the road. We're persuaded of that. And we embrace that. They embrace them. We embrace that. We cling to that. We hold on to that. Back to John 1. As many as received Him. That name means to grab hold of and not let go. To cling to. To cling to this knowledge. By faith. They embraced them. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Sometimes I'll be reading history and I'll look back and I'll see what Nero did, and I think about those people fed to animals. I think about the in display for entertainment of the masses, and I'll think about those that were nailed to posts and were burned at the stake in his garden when he would ride through and cover them with oil and light it. When they would scream, he would gleefully ride among them. I think about those things, and I think about the sufferings of those people. They embraced Christ. They embraced the knowledge that God had given them. They died in faith. Well, that doesn't happen today. Dig a little deeper. Go look at Islam. Look in the heart of Africa. Look in the places where these men in the Middle East conquer women and children and kill them because they believe and they love and they embrace the very Son of God, commanding them to deny Him temporally here in the world, and yet they're slaughtered because they will not, because they embrace Christ. And they full well realize the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us when we stand before Christ. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let me be my natural blunt self for just one moment. I hate this world. I wish the Lord would come back and destroy it and take us home right now. I care nothing for the governments of men. I love the things that God has given us. We've corrupted everything upon the face of the earth. Everything here is only evil continually. I hate this world. I hate evil. I hate wickedness. I try not to be bitter about it, but sometimes when I sit at home alone, I get that way. We're strangers. We don't belong here. We live in a land, a world, a place that will be destroyed. It's occupied by the wicked. We don't belong here. Now, I love the mountains. I love the trees. I love nature. I love everything God created in that sense. And it's beautiful. But this is not our home. Paul said, no, Peter, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, reverential fear of God. We're sojourning. We're going through here, and thank God it's only a short time. We're here for a moment. Scripture gives a lifetime of a man at 70. Some live far beyond that. Some don't make it that far. Some are killed in the womb. We're strangers and pilgrims here on the earth as we walk separately from the world by faith, giving glory to the very Son of God Himself. Christ is glorified. We have great, great comfort. I know you've all been the same way. I can remember in high school and school with all the peer pressure. Well, we're doing this and we're doing that. Things I wouldn't do because, well, to be quite frank, my daddy didn't allow it. I wasn't part of them. I'm not better than anybody. I'm the lowest of the low. But we're not part of it. And God is taking us from it because we're not part of it, okay? For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Abraham sought a country. The country that he was taken from was his nature, where he was by nature, where he lived in the flesh. He was led into the promised land. That was the land that God gave unto him. It was occupied by his seed many times. But again, 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 God gave him no inheritance in it. All this pointed to the church in the world today. The gift of the kingdom. The gift of the faith of God. The gift of worship. As we live in such a vain, wild world, those that say such things plainly declare that they seek a country. We have the kingdom that was pointed to, of which Isaac and Abraham were a type. And by living separate, we are making the statement, not that we're seeking necessarily this kingdom, for we are already here. We're not looking for a rapture and a kingdom. We're already here. But we're looking for heaven. We'll get to that in verse 16. We're looking for immortal glory. We're looking for a place where we shall walk with God as Adam did before sin. Yet better. Yet better. Because we will see Him as He is, perfected in the will of God. Perfected in the cross of Calvary. Perfected in His sufferings. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, think about Egypt. All those people wanted to go back down to Egypt. They were mindful of that country which they came out. What's the difference? We just a couple of weeks ago talked about the same thing being preached to them, which is preached to us today. But you see, theirs was not mixed with faith. They had not faith as a whole. Why are you not mindful of that country you left? Why are you not mindful of the nature of man? Why can you not fall finally away? Because you're bought in the blood of Christ. God has given you life. You've got faith, which is what this context is about. Therefore, as much as Satan tries to draw you back, you're not mindful of that country. You despise it. You loathe it. They had opportunity to have returned, but God will not forsake you and God will not leave you.